This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
After praising Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and sending immense greetings and salutations upon the final Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, we stopped in the hadith a discussion about the individual who may be addicted, mudminul khamr, addicted to intoxicants. And we mentioned, we concluded in the hadith that a person who was taking these intoxicants or taking these substances may not be classified as a believer, or harsh words are mentioned inside the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The hadith that we concluded upon, وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ حِينَ يَكْرَبُهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The one whilst in a state of intoxication is not a believer at that time. And today's discussion will complete this hadith which concerns us today, whereby the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, he mentioned, لَا يَسْنِي الزَّانِي حِينَ يَسْنِي وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. The person whilst committing adultery or fornication or any form of illicit relationship at that stage is not a believer. وَلَا يَسْرِقُ حِينَ يَسْرِقُ وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. Whilst a person is a thief or stealing or taking something that doesn't belong to that individual, that time of theft is not classified, is not a believer at that time. And then we find, وَلَا يَشْرَبُ الْخَمْرَ حِينَ يَشْرَبُهَا وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ. And likewise, a person who drinks alcohol, takes intoxicants at that time, is not really a believer. وَالْتَوْبَةُ مَعْرُودَةٌ بَعْدُ. Tawbah is given to these individuals if they return back or repent back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hadith marahu Imam Muslim inside his Sahih. The first thing that we need to understand from this hadith is that some minute individuals, حتى نقول العلماء, have taken the view that a person, that iman is stripped away from this individual whilst carrying out these actions. And some have even gone a step further and classified the individual who carries out these major sins annahu kafir, that this individual is a disbelieving individual. Even though this is not the most accurate view, but it shows how at times how severe certain actions can be taken by certain fuqaha, that some of them begin to classify individuals as disbelieving individuals, even though this happens to be a very, very minute view. But sometimes this extremity is taken by certain individuals that they begin to label and classify other individuals. So that's the whole concept of mukhallad finnar. Murtakibul kabira mukhallad finnar. Person who carries out a major sin will reside for entity inside the hellfire. This is a view that exists, even though this is a very deviant or corrupt view. Hadha asasul khawarij, the essence of khawarij is person who carries out a major sin is doomed to the hellfire for eternity. Or we find takfirul muslimin, taqtilul muslimin. Essence of their belief is to make takfir upon their fellow comrades, upon other Muslims, and likewise to believe that the blood of fellow Muslims is halal. This is essence, is a nutshell, is fikratul khawarij, the essence of their belief, which stems out even to this day. Unfortunately, you find that the killing of innocent Muslims, not speaking about non-Muslims, that to kill another Muslim is justified, and likewise to damn and to doom people to the hellfire. If they're Muslims, they commit major sins, they reside for eternity inside the hellfire. This is a corrupt view. This is a view which is not an authentic view. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out punishments for individuals who carry out major sins. But it's not for us, the layman, the average individual, to take such a hadith and begin to apply them around us. First, we find such a hadith don't negate iman. Doesn't take iman away. Don't negate iman or Islam from people. No one should read a hadith whereby a hadith may state, la yu'min, the person doesn't believe, or the person is not really a believer, or the person, iman has been taken away from him. None of us should ever inside our lives read a hadith and walk to a fellow Muslim and say, this hadith states this. Now according to this hadith, you are no longer a believer. You are now outside the fold of Islam. Secondly, we find to classify Muslims as disbelievers according to their sins. If a believer, a Muslim carries out a sin, it is not for an average individual to go around and say that this individual, hatta in shariba or zana, even a person drank or committed adultery or done evil actions even in open, it is not for an average individual to go out and to say that now this individual is to be classified or stated to be a disbelieving individual. And likewise, we find to apply such wordings that we find or a hadith on people. And fourthly, that we find to look down and ridicule sinful Muslims. There will be Muslims who may carry out these evil or these bad actions. As we mentioned in the previous khutbah about how even certain companions, not to take away any credit from them, some of them were addicted to alcohol, or some of them they drank, but they were pardoned and forgiven by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So sins can be committed by any Muslim. Any Muslim commit a sin. A person shouldn't ridicule another Muslim or look down upon another individual because of a sin that they've committed. Rather, the correct explanation is hadith, as mentioned by the Prophet alayhi wasallam, or mentioned by Abu Huraira in the Sunnah Imam Tirmidhi, that a person, when a slave of Allah commits fornication or carries out one of these evil actions, faith leaves that individual and becomes like an umbrella, becomes like a cloud upon the head of the individual. It hovers over the head of the individual. As soon as a person completes that evil action, then that faith, it comes back into the heart, comes back into the body of the individual. That is the interpretation of hadith. La yazni al-zani wa yazni wa hu mu'min. At that state of committing an evil action, iman has been lifted from that individual. If the person dies in that state, that is classified as su'ul khatima, classified as an evil ending. That a person, whilst in a state of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, their soul has been taken away from them. As for the end result, wal ilmu inda Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, na'khud ala dhahir, take the apparent, this was an evil ending for the individual. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His infinite justice or mercy, may forgive that one individual, may forgive that person. We don't know that. But on average, people who die in such a manner have died in a bad state and exposed to the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What can be safely concluded about such ahadith and such practices, that for these individuals, there is a severe punishment inside this world and inside the hereafter. That can be safely concluded. Ignore the concept whether they remain for eternity inside the hellfire or they don't. What can be safely concluded, people who carry out adultery, who carry out fornication, there is a punishment for such individuals on the face of this earth. And if they become scot-free, or they escape this punishment and they don't repent, there will be a punishment for these individuals inside the hereafter. And that's what we find if we look at Surah An-Nur, whereby it mentions about the married individuals and unmarried individuals. For those who are married individuals, that we find people who carry out this evil action, they are to be stoned to death. That is a punishment for a married individual. As for an unmarried individual, that we find, that person is to be flogged 100 times, or taghrib an, and to be expelled from the land, thrown out of the land. People say this is evil. This could be an element of shar idafi, something which can be plausibly, to a partial degree, evil. Evil for that individual. But in essence, it's not evil. Even the punishment a person faces, according to Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is not something evil. As Shaykh Uthaymeen rahmatullahi begins to discuss about the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this becomes firstly a deterrent for the individual. Unmarried individual who may carry out this evil action, it becomes a deterrent for the individual, taghribu am, to be expelled from the land, to be separated from that love, that lust, that desire that they may have. Secondly, it becomes a severe warning. This is a punishment that you face, and you will face again if you carry out this evil action. And likewise, we find atonement for this individual on this earth. Whoever takes the punishment on this dunya will not face the punishment inside the akhirah, whereby we know that punishment in the akhirah will be far more severe for those individuals. And this shows the importance of the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because so many of us, to this day, we fail to understand what is Tawheedullah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What is the belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is it just to condense it on certain things and certain principles? That's all that Tawheed is. Tawheed is far deeper that many of us, we fail to understand inside our lives. Yes, we find that masses of people do commit shirk with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do associate partners with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They need to be warned. They need to be reminded. But it's masses of people who are staying away from a core concept of Tawheed. Any book of Tawheed that you read, in general, divided into 3 broad categories that we find. Tawheed of Ibadah, we find. Uluhiyah, that we find. Worship, devotion, commitment. Everything belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In al-hukmu illa lillah. Hukm belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thus you find, ma yughayyir bi yadi sultan. What can be changed by the hand of the ruler cannot even be changed by the Quran. What does that mean? Person who understands what Tawheed is will uplift, uproot shirk, will remove it by force because they have the right to do so. We can see the weakness around us that we find. People are openly committing shirk billahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's no power, there's no authority because Tawheed really hasn't entered into our mind. What is Tawheed? It's to uproot evil, take out evil, place hududullahi ala al-ard, place the rules and regulations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the earth, to create a safe haven, a safe environment, not just to speak about certain things and turn a blind eye that we find. That's why we find this concept of ibadah lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's visible in front of our eyes at the moment, the world that we live in. We find this concept of worship of oneself, to claim to be a sovereign power, a sovereign dignity. Ana rabbukumul a'la. I'm your almighty Lord, your sovereign power. It's all visible on the earth at that moment. If we see it, Bilad al-Sham, al-Iraq, if we find inside the Arabian Peninsula, in al-Yemen that we find, any individual who speaks about a certain thing that begins to show weakness in an element of towards their sovereign power and their authority, what will happen to these individuals? How will they be desecrated? How they will be destroyed? How will they be taken away? Why? Believing that we are almighty individuals. That's what becomes the role of Muslims. That a Muslim, there is no clergyman inside Islam. There's no Catholicism. We are not answerable to any single individual on the face of this earth. No one is answerable to any human being. We are only answerable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is Catholicism. That religious clerics will control the environment around them, control the people, control the mindset of people. That's Catholicism. That was the downfall of Catholicism, whereby the religious clerics believed that they were all entity. They could control the masses around them. Whatever their masters fed them, they fed them to the wider community, left them dumb, dumb and blind. This is exactly what's taking place, unfortunately, to a certain degree in this Muslim ummah. Muslims are left deaf, dumb and blind. Certain things are carried out in the name of Islam, for the protection of Islam, rather it's for the protection of their own self. Protection of their own self and destroy everything around you. This also needs to be broken. Tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is only the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's as we worry about a person who comes to a grave and a shrine and worship that shrine, we get all frustrated about it. We become all vocal about it towards people, say these people are mushriks. Why don't we get vocal? Why don't we get worried about people who place qawaneen al-wad'iyah, qawaneen al-insaniyah, place man-made laws, man-made instruments upon the earth, judge and rule by them, authorized by them, governed by them, lead their countries by them. Why don't we become emotional about that? Why do we become emotional about a poor individual who may come to a grave and a shrine, who may be ignorant, who needs to be reminded, who needs to be warned, who needs to be told, but yet we turn a blind eye to everything around us in the world, think it's irrelevant. This is not making takfir of any individual or any personality or any regime. Just like you believe in Tawheed that this is shit, you need to believe, penetrate it inside your heart and your mind. Any form of law which is against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is a very, very grey area. Ala qal shay. Ala qal shay. That's the Quran mentions in Surah Al-Ma'idah. وَمَنْ لَمْ يَحْكُمْ بِمَا أَنْزَلَ اللَّهُ فَأُولَئِكَمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Firstly mentioned those people who do not declare the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as their judgment, a disbelieving individual. Then they're going to be ظَالِمُونَ. Then they're going to be فَاسِقُونَ. أَقَلُّ شَيْءٍ هُمْ فُسَاقٌ وَفِسْقٌ ظَاهِرٌ. They are the minor state, these people are rebellious individuals, rebelling against the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, rebelling openly, saying, no, we are going to govern by the laws that we feel fit to be upon the face of this earth. This is part of Tawheed we need to understand inside our lives. As I mentioned, read any book of Tawheed, it's crystal clear, speaking about law and governance and regulations and authority belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's only been a few 150, 200 years. We live in this new world, in this modern world, that people are going away from the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. People are losing weakness towards it. We need to instill inside our lives, inside our hearts, the belief that law belongs only to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the future will be bright because someone will take those words and they will revitalize those words. And likewise, living inside a non-Muslim environment, it should be a disclaimer. We are not here to impose the laws of Allah upon the Western world. We're not here to amputate people. We're not here to stone people. We're not here to flog people. We're here to remind ourselves. Remind ourselves as Muslims that this is going to be the punishment a person can face if they lived in an Islamic environment. As for the hereafter that we find, what is the punishment for individuals or those people who commit zina? Inside the hadith which speaks about adab al-qabr, punishment inside the grave, as ulama have mentioned. There will be individuals, men and women, who committed adultery, fornication, state of nudity. They will be placed inside a tanur, inside a furnace, whereby you find that the bottom is a very wide space and the upper part, the exit is a very small place. And you find as the fire begins to heat, these people, they try to escape, come to the top. When they come to the top, the heat begins to come down and they drop once again. This is going to be until hatta yawm al-qiyam, until the day of judgment. Those people commit zina upon this earth, that they're going to be burnt inside tanur, burnt inside the furnace. Every single day is a punishment these individuals
are going to be facing. And that's what the Quran, the Sharia, does not negate just the end result. It speaks about the beginning. That's why you find that prevention is better than cure. We don't follow a Western concept that do whatever you want. That when we discover diseases, when we discover problems, then we begin to work our way back and find what the problem is. Islam nips the problem right from the bud, right from the roots, from the beginning. It highlights clearly this is something dangerous to the society, dangerous to the Muslim. That's the Quran mentions, wala taqrabu zina, innahu kana fahishatan wa sa'a sabila. Allah mentions that Surah Al-Isra, wala taqrabu zina, speak about all numerous different types of crimes and bad practices. Allah mentions, wala taqrabu zina, innahu kana fahishatan wa sa'a sabila. It is something immoral practice. Wa sa'a sabila, it cuts off the path, breaks the lineage, genealogy, family ties, nations, tribes, breaks it apart. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyyah mentions that a zina is a sin on this earth. There's no equivalent to it. No equivalent to it. That the effects of zina upon this earth, upon the individual that we find. This should make a person think about their life. Think about the average practices of people around them. To abstain from such evil practices. To remind people to stay away from such evil practices. وَلَا تَقْرَبُ الزِّنَا. Quran doesn't say وَلَا تَفْعَلُوا. Doesn't say don't commit zina. وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا. سَدُّ الْأَبْوَابِ سَدُّ الذَّرِيعَةِ. Principle of Usul al-Fiqh that we find anything that leads to haram فهو حرام. المشي إلى شيء, walking to something which is haram. هذا المشي يكون حراما. That walking becomes haram. That driving becomes haram. Everything becomes haram. Anything that comes towards haram is classified as haram in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. ولا تفعلوا الزنا. Don't commit zina. ولا تقربوا. Don't come anything which is close to zina. Likewise, Allah mentioned, ولا تقربوا الفحش. فواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن. Don't come close to any form of fawahish. Any form of illicit, immorality, lewdness, sexual promiscuity, wickedness, any practice that you find, anything, don't come close to it. وما ظهر منها وما بطن, whatever is apparent and whatever may be hidden, person needs to avoid it and stay away from it. And thus we find the preventive measures which are laid out in the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Doesn't leave us in the dark about what we need to carry out inside our lives. Firstly, we find observing the Islamic dress code. For men as well, and more specifically for women, the dress code has been placed there for a reason. The hijab is not a fashion entity. It's not to be a fashion to be paraded inside the streets. That's not the essence of hijab in the fuqaha. Study the works of the fuqaha. Libsul mar'ah. Hijabul mar'ah. Study in great detail whatever madhab you may follow inside your life. There's only a small element of difference of opinion. Whether kafain, whether the hands are classified as awra, or whether the face is classified as awra. Other than that, all of the fuqaha are unanimous about the dress code of the Muslim woman. It should be loose garment. Not, it should not be transparent. It should not be bright colours. It should not be revealing. It should not be beautification in itself. These are all rules that are placed by the fuqaha centuries ago. All of them adorned to this. But yet we find in this so-called modern world, no, we live in a different environment. There is no different environment. The environment is the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the best of one's ability. Secondly, that we find lowering one's gaze. Inside Surah An-Nur, they find, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ يَغُضُّ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَيَحْفَظُوا فُرُوجَهُمْ. Say to the ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ خَبِيرٌ بِمَا يَصْنَعُونَ. Say to the believing men, lower their gazes and to guard their private parts. ذَلِكَ أَزْكَى لَهُمْ. That is purer and better for you. And that's why ulama mentioned is a direct link between the glance, between the looking and passion and desires of the individual. When a person sees haram, visualizes haram, sees certain things, it arouses the feelings of the individual. That's what we find in the hadith, which is weak, that you find in the nadra min sahm al iblis, that you find indeed the glance in the hadith is weak, is da'if, but the meaning is there. The glance is from amongst the poison arrows of iblis, of the devil, that he shoots at the individual. Kam min ma'asi, how many acts of disobedience have begun with an-nadhra, with a glance. We're just looking at something which is haram and leads on. That's why Islam prohibits looking at something which is forbidden for the individual. Inna Allah khabirun bima yasna'un. Allah is khabir. Not with what you do. Yasna'un, what may you try to carry out. Is an ishara inside this verse that Allah, these effect of looking at something haram could go deep down, penetrate into the heart and the mind of the individual. And likewise, you find thirdly, refraining from khalwa. Unnecessary intermingling between the two genders. To stay away from it is what the Sharia tells us to stay away from. Al-ikhtilaf bayna al-rijali wa al-nisa. mixing of men and women in general is not allowed inside the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person should avoid it, should stay away from it. And fourthly, what you find, to be alone or to be with the opposite gender, non-mahram, that we find. إِيَّاكُمْ وَالدَّخُولَ عَلَى النِّسَاءِ. Woe upon you to enter into a gathering of women or to sit with strange women. It's forbidden for an individual to sit in such an environment because it may lead to the extremity of that evil practice, as we mentioned. And likewise, we find that some of us may think that the Quranic language is very limited, that the Quran doesn't speak about modern day affairs, modern day practices, girlfriend, boyfriend relationships that we find. Maybe the Quran is far away from that. But some of us, we fail to understand the language of the Quran. Inside Surah An-Nisa, Allah mentioned, وَلَا مُتَّخِذَاتِ أَخْدَانِ. Women who don't take men as يعني الأخِلَّة, as their lovers, as their boyfriends in the common day language that we find. It's a severe warning. Women who are supposed to be chaste women, they don't have illicit relationship or partners in this manner. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns the men, وَلَا مُتَّخِذِي أَخْدَانِ. Inside Surah Al-Ma'idah, the men are supposed to be pure men as well, who don't take women as their comrades, as their friends. Don't take them in that manner that wider society may do. So the Quran is very accurate in telling us about staying away from certain things and not coming close to these things that we find. And thus we find the factual impact of illicit relationships upon our society around us that we find. If you study the figures of how many percentage of people, of children, are born out of wedlock inside this society, you'll be surprised. The percentage of people born out of wedlock inside this society. It's a common practice. People don't believe inside a concept of marriage. Don't believe in this anymore. Breaking their own society, destroying their own society. The essence of illegitimate children that we find. And likewise we find HIV and AIDS. They can present whatever they want to present to society. It's because of this reason or that reason, that reason. The essence of the main core reason is either use of drugs that we find, or sex is a sexually transmitted disease. That's the essence of it. And to this day, there is no cure. There is no cure. There's in the hadith of Sunnah Abi Dawood, as some ulama mentioned, that when people begin to fornicate in the open, in the public, and however they feel like, Allah will send down a disease whereby there will be no cure. There will be no cure. Ulama have concluded that cure, that disease at the moment, is nothing but AIDS. That this world is 60 million people are suffering from AIDS. It's a sexually transmitted disease primarily, and the use of sharing of needles and drugs and fusion, blood transfusion in general that we find. That's the essence of it. It's the evil practices that led to this. We shouldn't shy away. When Christian preachers speak that this is the essence, this is destruction and the doom, are they slammed because of what they say? But we Muslims, we shy away from the fact this is the essence. Evil, bad practice lead to corruption upon the earth. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسب أيدي الناس ليذيقوا بعد ما عملوا لعلهم يرجعون. ظهر الفساد في البر والبحر بما كسب أيدي الناس. Corruption appeared on the land and the ocean because what man set forth with his own hands. They may they begin to taste the fruits of their own hands. Taste your fruits of your own hands, actions that you do. You know, there is no secrecy of our slum. There's no secrecy of our downfall. There's no secrecy of us being downtrodden. There's no secrecy. It's all open. It's because of ma'asi, because of dhunub, of disobedience, wickedness, bad practices. We're in a gloom state. We're in a bad state of disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's the only way to uplift ourselves is to go back to the belief and a conviction of staying away from these evil practices to enlighten ourselves. We find that not just the average individual of non-Muslims around us who practice this evil practice, we find unfortunately at times even Muslims are practicing this evil practice. Even we find some so-called even practicing Muslims begin to practice such of these evil practices. If a person begins to disclose the number of cases whereby imams have dealt with people who are married individuals, people supposed to be good individuals inside society, who garb themselves in an Islamic attire, who dress in Islamic attire, live a so-called Islamic life, have been involved in zina, will make a person begin to think that what is the society that we are living in? What is the society that we're living in? If people who claim to understand the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are carrying out such atrocities on a, if you can say, on a very wide scale, on a very wide scale that we find, that what would be the likes of an average individual shows that a lack of understanding of ibiyamin tawheed, belief, conviction about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, conviction about what could happen, the end result of a person who disobeys Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And likewise, we find that Muslims who are involved whether it be from the grassroots or such practices that we find, who think that the Sharia of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs to be changed, needs to be uplifted for the 21st century, for the 21st environment that we find. Just simple answers to these individuals. أَلَا يَعْلَمُ مَنْ خَلَقْ وَهُوَ اللَّطِيفُ الْخَبِيرُ. Does not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala know what He has created? He's the most subtle, the most aware. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created the human being, knows the likes and dislikes of the human being. زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the beginning of Surah Ali Imran, زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ. Man loves certain things, certain likes the human being has. Strange it is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by mentioning زُيِّرَ لِلنَّاسِ حُبُّ الشَّهَوَاتِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ, from amongst women. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mention this inside the Quran? Is this something to be shy about? Something to be rejected? Something to turn a cheek to? Allah says clearly that the human being, that the first like, the first enticement, the first like towards the individual is going to be this element. So don't question the law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't question when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out certain parameters, lays out certain barriers, that it is for our own good. Likewise we find, قُلْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يَأْمُرُ بِالْفَحْشَى أَتَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ مَا لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Allah doesn't command anything which is fawahish. Allah doesn't allow anything which is evil, immoral, bad practice. Allah doesn't allow it. Allah doesn't allow it to take place, doesn't want it to take place, or doesn't legislate it that it can be taken place. So we cannot say that we as Muslims today, the modern world, we understand the law better, that we need to do certain things for the benefit of the people. There's no harm, as people say, in free mixing amongst ourselves. Sad it is, even in Islamic events, we find that free mixing begins to take place, and petty excuses are given, that the person is possibly searching for their partner, searching for their spouse. These Western concepts that indoctrinated our mind, that we find that people say, what is the harm in knowing your partner before you marry them? Where is the limitation? Person needs to tick all the boxes. You need to know all their likes, all their dislikes. You need to know every single thing about that individual before you marry them. Where are you going to find the ideal individual? You will never find the ideal individual. Islam doesn't say that you have to tick all the boxes. Go through everything, know everything about your future spouse, then you decide to marry them. This is a Western concept. This is a Western concept that's infiltrating into Muslims, that I need to know every single thing. I need to be with this individual, understand this individual, then I marry them. That's not the Islamic concept. The Islamic concept is وَجَعْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يَتَفَكَّرُونَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala places مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً, immense love, immense compassion, immense mercy that you find between the two spouses, based upon what? تُنْكِحُ الْمَرْأَ عَلَى أَرْبَعَ. A woman is married for four things. وَلِجَمَالِهَا وَلِذَاتِهَا نَسَبِهَا. For her beauty, for her lineage, for وَلِمَالِهَا وَلِدِينِهَا, for her deen. فَظْفَرْ بِذَاتِ الدِّينِ تَرِبَتْ يَدَاكَ. Choose the woman of deen. Choose a woman of belief, on conviction. May your hands be enriched. May there be gold dust, blessings inside your hand. You find all this dunya is a plush green earth. But the best plush green earth that you find is al-mar'atu salihah, is a righteous woman. That's the best thing, because a righteous woman is one who's going to nurture your children, protect your honor and your absence, take care of you, look after you, be your partner inside this dunya and likewise inside akhirah. But the assas of marriage is just based upon shallow love. Shallow love that we find. Come, how many cases we find marriage, not just after 1 year, after 6 months, after 3 months, وَحَتَّى نَفْسُ الْيَوْمِ. حَتَّى نَفْسُ الْيَوْمِ. Some people on the day of their marriage, on the day of marriage, have walked away from one another. For what? Why? Because the asas of nikah, essence of their marriage, wasn't al-imanu billah, wasn't belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, wasn't to follow the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, was just to follow what everybody is doing around them. Thus we find that there will be no concept of the ideal partners, what these people are trying to penetrate inside our society. And likewise, in conclusion, that we find the dangers of modern technology. Some people may find it's an extremity, but as we mentioned, wala taqrabu zina, some of these passages, some of these ways that we find of modern day technology, they have led to people committing zina, have led to people committing haram, if not the ultimate haram, other elements of haram. Thus we find Facebook, Twitter, Snapchat, Instagram, that we find many times we've warned the people around us, warned the Muslims around us, young Muslims around us, and likewise our Muslim sisters, There is no need for a Muslim sister to display her icon, to display her face. لا يجوز عند الشريعة الله سبحانه. Not allowed for a woman to display her face in public, that people can see her face. It's not allowed for a Muslim individual to be in discussion with other individuals, that there seems to be no real purpose. There's no need to. حتى من باب الدعوة, people say this is giving da'wah, giving da'wah to other individuals. There's enough people to give da'wah. Because people have fallen into the trap of carrying out haram, getting involved in haram. Hadith inside Sahih Muslim. Zina isn't the ultimate end. Al-aynani tazniyan, the two eyes that commit zina. What is the zina of the eyes? To look at something which is haram. The tongue commits zina. What is it, the zina of the tongue? To speak that which is haram. The ears commit zina. What is the zina of the ears? To listen to that which is haram. All of these warnings that are placed inside the Quran. Allah warns female individuals. فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض. It says to believe in women. فلا تخضعن بالقول. Don't be deceptive, alluring, beautifying in your speech. When you speak to a person of the opposite gender who's non-mahram to you, a person should be blunt, sharp, to the point, to blunt to the individual. They have nothing to do with you. فَلَا تَخْضَعْنَا بِالْقَوْلِ. For what reason? فَيَجْمَعَ الَّذِي فِي قَلْبِهِ مَرَضٌ. Lest a disease may arouse inside the individual. وَالْمَرَضْ هُنَا كما فسره إمام قرطبي أو إمام طبري في تفسيرهما. المرض هنا بمعنى الشهوة. مرض here, disease means a desire. A lust is aroused. That a person, a woman, lowers her voice, sweetens her voice, says something with her voice, and it begins to arouse temptation and desire in the heart, in the mind of the individual. So Quran uproots it. That a person should know the ethics of how they speak to the person of the opposite gender that we find. And thus we find, as we mentioned, how many of these wasail, these mediums that we find have led towards people to be involved inside haram or carrying out acts of haram. Thus we as Muslims should be vigilant. We shouldn't allow it to take place and then to return back to the board and say, now what should we do? We should be from the outset. We should see that this is technology which has a beneficial usage. But these are also the harms and needs to be controlled in this manner. Control this manner to help us, because many young individuals, they are fertile ground. They are weak ground. They don't have a strong iman, a strong perception. So their hearts and their mind can waver very quickly and be trapped inside this, and it becomes a disease that remains for them possibly for the rest of their life, that haunts them, overtakes them. Just so we find other addictions that we find, it leads to addictions that exist inside the individual. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to stay away from al-fawahish ma dhahara minha wa ma batan, whatever form of illicit relationship happen to be in the open or in private.